For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Epiphany Hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org, or you could also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. It's a big secular celebration, so big that it draws crowds of tens of thousands to Times Square in New York City and the equivalents in other major cities. Everybody is out. The drinking starts early. They're waiting for the ball to drop or the fireworks to go off or the clock to strike. And of course, most of us are in bed by the time, most of us sensible people are in bed by the time that New Year's Day begins with the stroke of midnight. So it's a big secular celebration. What is the church doing celebrating New Year's Eve? Has the church always done this? And if we are celebrating it, why are we doing it this way? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. coming to you on this Monday afternoon, December the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We will kick off today's program studying the New Year hymn, Across the Sky, the Shades of Night, with Pastor Will Whedon. An hour from now, we'll play part four of our Holy Family series with the late Dr. Lewis Brighton, today, Divorce. Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. He's host of the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Todd. So excited to talk about this hymn.
You wanted to start by kind of thinking a little bit about what the church is doing, even celebrating the secular New Year.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, the observance of the secular New Year, which is what this, you know, there's no mistaking that that is what this hymn is written for. And it's also what the church does liturgically on this day. If you look at the readings assigned, it's really focused on New Year rather than so-called name of Jesus. It's rather akin to like when the church started doing Thanksgiving Day as a day that the state asked and said, you know, would you do this? Well, here for New Year's Day, it's just the church's recognition that, you know what, if we're going to mark a change here in time, all things are sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Let us sanctify the year that has passed and the year that is coming with the word of God and prayer. And I honestly just don't think there's a better hymn to do that than the one that we're going to be studying today.
Why do you say it is the perfect hymn for the new year?
Well, he absolutely captures all of the major themes that the readings and the prayers are going to hold forth for us. Really a beautiful summary of the biblical approach to, you know, you need to remember the blessings of God. You need to give thanks for the faithful departed that you no longer have with you on the pilgrimage. And you most certainly need to ask God's blessing and mercy on the new year. Oh, and forgiveness for your sins. He's going to cover all those bases in the hymn. And he, by the way, is James Hamilton, who was born in Scotland, but he was a priest of the Church of England. He wrote this hymn, or at least we should say the hymn showed up for the first time in a hymnal in 1880, a Church of England hymn book. By 20 years' time, the thing had spread. It was in a dozen hymnals and first came to us in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 1912 with the little first English hymn book that, you know, that we had there. The tune that's associated with it probably was the one he wrote it to. So we're used to hearing these, you know, we call it Allein Gott und der Herr sei Herr. Julian said that chorale that was introduced by Mendelssohn in his St. Paul. That's the tune that it was written for. And just as an aside, on the bow of the great bell of St. Paul's, written around its brazen mouth, there is Allein Gott und der Herr sei Herr. Every time it rings, it's calling us, oh, glory be to God on high, in St. Paul's in Hamel. And I may be totally wrong, but I really suspect that this hymn itself is what inspired the meditation I would like to read for you. It's brief. It was published in The Pilgrims by O.P. Kretzmann, the great teacher and sort of founder of Valparaiso University, the guiding spirit there for a very long time. So the scene is the New Year service is done. He's reflective as he heads into the dark building, to the sanctuary, to extinguish, you know, the altar candle. I got one altar candle left. And listen, the last candle burned gently on the altar. Beyond the dark windows, the midnight was already alive with bells and whistles. But here, they seemed now like sounds from a lost world. In a sudden wind from the sacristy door, the candle flickered forward and threw into bold relief the face on the crucifix. Shadows played over the red wounds and in the eyes in which pain had been a prisoner these 1900 years. There was darkness. At the foot of the sanctuary steps, there stood the tree in the manger. The place of his birth was in gloom. The place of his death was in the light. All the years of his way from the manger to the cross were in the brief steps up the sanctuary, up to the everlasting altar. Here were beginning and end. Not by the years could his life and power be measured, nor by the dust of centuries, but only by the wounds still red against the white dominion of his throne. Was it the darkness or the hour which seemed to move his patient face in pity? Surely no sculptor had caught the moment of, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That was so very long ago. The bells and whistles beyond me in the dark were marking the end of another year between his heaven and my world. There have been many of them now, almost twice as many as the number of his days before the eyes of men. Strange that all our years should be measured by his days, and all the time of man by one day, when, in darkness and pain, God was making eternity ready, and history was preparing for B.C. and A.D. Strange, too, with the wonder of heaven and hope, that I can repeat his prayer tonight, "Father, forgive, forgive me, for the lost but unforgotten hours of the dying year, for the erring way and the barren heart." The pivot of the year is too brief to say more than one word which makes the years an altar stare and the time of life the lifting of the angelic trumpets. Midnight is lonely now with lonely bells, and my candle of prayer burns low. There's only one cross on the altar tonight. On the hill there were three. But the children of the man on the cross to the left are blowing whistles tonight. And the children of the man on the right are in sanctuaries the world over. His time was short, perhaps shorter than mine, but his prayer was good and better than mine. Remember me. Make my failures thy victories and the years of my sins the eternity of thy grace. Remember me. Thy footsteps grow brighter as the years grow dim, and no calendars can limit thy power. Remember me. This moment, not of yesterday nor of tomorrow, is thine, just as the years are thine. There are other voices in the sanctuary now. The waiting saints made perfect at last, and the great multitude past human numbering, who have been remembered at altars in heaven and on earth. In a little while, we shall be wise as those whose wisdom is a song. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
Well, with that said, that inspired by this hymn, what scriptures inspired this hymn?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the very scriptures that inspired this hymn are the ones that call us to watch out for our use of time. I mean, sort of ringing throughout the hymn is that parable that where the Lord said, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and whose shall it be?" Right? All that stuff that you've been acquiring. The use of time, big in this entire hymn, is a series of psalms. We'll see as we go through stanza by stanza. But common to them all is you're only passing through, and you don't know how long you've got. And you've certainly already lost people this year that maybe were worshiping with you last year. They're not here now. And what will this year bring? Ask God for grace. That's the theme of this hymn. Fool, your life is required of you this night.
Is that a parallel to Jesus warning, work while it is day, because the night comes, and who knows what he's talking about there? The end of time, the night comes when no man can work.
Yeah, yeah. And that, he said that in the context of we must do the work, but I mean, the night was coming when he was the only one that was going to be doing the work, the night that he did the work that nobody else could do, the redemption of the world. But yeah, yeah, I think it's a good warning.
When we come back from this break, we're going to hear the first stanza of Across the Sky, the Shades of Night. Across the sky, the shades of night, this New Year's Eve are fleeting. We deck your altar, Lord, with light in solemn worship meeting. And as the year's last hours go by, we raise to you our earnest cry, once more your love entreating.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Did you know that Lutherans are helping new American immigrants get settled? How about struggling church workers in need of support and refreshment? And we assist at-risk children and provide disaster response to hurricane victims. Through LCMS recognized service organizations, we are doing all this and more. I'm Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund, and I don't want you to miss out on hearing what your brothers and sisters in Christ are up to. Visit interesttime.org to see how your support gives life to these works of mercy and love.
Sanctifying your hobbies with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here at Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church, you'll find folks just like you, sinners in need of what only Christ can give, the full forgiveness of all of our sins. In a world where change turns things upside down, we serve a Lord who never changes and who has promised to be with us always until the very end of the age. If you find yourself in the Milwaukee suburbs, look us up. Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church is the only Lutheran church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
The first stanza of the New Year hymn, Across the Sky, the Shades of Night. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Our guest is Pastor Will Whedon, host of the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can listen to Pastor Whedon's daily 15-minute Bible study at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Will, what would you say of this first stanza?
Across the sky, the shades of night. That invites such a, I mean, you can see it right away. It's clear there. The clouds fleeting across the sky. And that brings echoes of the way James would say, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. He opposes that truth to all the silly plans that we make and imagine to be so rock solid. I'm going to do this or that tomorrow. I always kind of laugh, especially at my eldest daughter, who is famous for making all these plans. And I remember she had it all set up at the birth of her second child, how it was all going to be. And the little one came like a month early, and all of her plans shot to smithereens. Doesn't bother her any. She keeps on making her plans. But when we make our plans, which we have to do to get on in this world, we need to do it with the humility that says, Deus volunt. If the Lord wills, or as God wills. Also, then we think about Psalm 102, verse 3, my days pass away like smoke. You know, you see it and it drifts away. Psalm 90, you sweep them away as with the flood. They're like a dream, like grass. It's renewed in the morning. In the morning, it flourishes and is renewed. And in the evening, it fades and withers. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. So getting a heart of wisdom is why we deck the altar of the Lord with light and gather in solemn worship on New Year's Eve to attend to his word, to ponder its warnings and its promises, and to pray for ourselves and our dear ones the gift of that wisdom. Think of it. Time comes rolling at you as a gift from him, from his hand. But it is not an infinite gift. It's only for a little bit that you will have a yesterday, a today, and a tomorrow. And it's given you so that you might come in this gift to know him, to believe his salvation, to praise him, to beg the gift of his love to sustain you. Then your time is being rightly used, or as St. Paul would say, redeemed. So it's the exact opposite of the Epicurean who says, "Eh, let us eat, drink, and be merry, tomorrow we die." Rather, it has about it the wisdom of God's word. Fool, this day your soul is required of you. It might be this very day for you, for me, for any one of us. So how wise to gather before him, to give heed to his word, especially the gospel reading for this day, would you say, leave it alone for another year and I'll tend it and see what comes then. And we remember he's the one to whom we're going to have to give an account. You're going to have to, I'm going to have to, each one of us. So we pray for this heart of wisdom to number our days.
Is part of that wisdom realizing that time is not only a gift, but it is a daily, hourly, moment by moment reminder of God's profound patience in Jesus Christ. That leave it another day or leave it another year is this. He is not slow.
Yeah.
Right. He's not late, I think is what the apostle is saying there, as some count it, but he is patient.
He is patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to the knowledge of the truth. So yeah, we receive each moment of each day as he's been patient with me yet again. Let me not waste his patience, but let me rather use the time for what he intended it for, that it might be to me truly a time of repentance and of faith.
How do we balance that with, or temper that with, Christ's words to not give a thought for tomorrow in terms of worry? Tomorrow will have enough cares of its own.
Yeah, I think they actually tie really well together, because when you're thinking about the fact of your death, you're not necessarily thinking about tomorrow. You should be thinking it can be today. It's thinking about the needs of this day. What you need to go on right this moment is repentance and faith. That's what you need right now. When he's arguing, don't be thinking about, you know, your worries for tomorrow. That's the whole point. You may not even get there. And when you get there, it's going to be heavier than anything you ever thought you could bear anyway. So don't worry. It'll, you know, each day has its own burdens and you'll face it. I like to put it this way. You can't see what's coming around the corner, and that is a grace of God. Or said another way, don't worry. Things are going to get worse, but it'll be okay. You can absolutely count on that throughout the days of your life, as long as he gives you a day, that things are going to become more challenging as he continues taking things away from us and giving us the promise of himself.
The second stanza of Across the Sky, the Shades of Night. Before the cross subdued, we bow to you our prayer addressing, recounting all your mercies now and all our sins confessing, beseeching you this coming year to keep us in your faith and fear and crown us with your blessing. So this is the reflection that leads to repentance.
Yeah, I mean, there's the somber tone that's mentioned right there. You just can't sort of ignore it in the hymn. It's before his cross that we remember his mercies. And so we remember our sins. And so we remember the coming year. And we beg him for his absolutely most important gifts to keep us in his faith and fear. And so crown us with his blessing. Look, there is no material blessing that he could give that would benefit the soul who fell away from his faith and fear in the coming year. And falling away is always a reality. It can happen, something we got to be aware of for every single one of us. So the hymn in this little short stanza, it actually does the same thing that a longer prayer does. And I'd like to share that prayer with you also. This is from Stark's New Year's Eve prayer book. So the Stark's prayer book. For the last time in this year, I now bend my knees before you, O my God. You have had mercy on me, and now I seek nothing but your grace and peace. I know that I have many times angered and grieved you in the past 12 months. I know that I have often transgressed your commandments and have not always walked before you as I should. I know that by my disobedience, I have justly deserved your wrath, displeasure, and punishment. But I also know that you graciously receive penitent sinners for Jesus' sake and forgive them their iniquities, rebellions, and sins. And so I now cast myself before your throne and plead for mercy. O Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake. Enter not into judgment with me, for I can no more be justified before you than any sinful being. Cleanse me of my sins and also my secret faults. If during this year I failed to listen as devoutly and attentively as I ought to your revealed word, which makes me wise to salvation, forgive my inattention and let me from now on be changed from a mere hearer into a doer of your word. If I've not loved my neighbor or you or my neighbor as I should, remove from my heart all coldness and kindle the fire of divine love in my soul so that I love you and my neighbor as myself. If in my vocation and in the works of my calling, I have not shown proper faithfulness, forgive me in your great mercy and grant that in the future I may apply the talent you've entrusted to me. At all times may I be found a good steward, ready to face you when you shall call me to render an account of my trust. There is forgiveness with you, O God, and so I seek forgiveness with you. Now that the year's closing, blot out the record of my guilt, which is great indeed. Cancel it with the precious blood of my Savior, which I make my own by faith. Let my sins vanish like mist from before your eyes. Remove them far from me, and remember them no more ever again, lest in the new year I should have to appear before you as your debtor. Further, take me under your gracious protection this night. Be a wall of fire around me that no harm befall me. Should this night prove the last for me in this dark veil of tears, then lead me, Lord, to heaven, to you, and to your saints in glory. May I thus live to you and die to you, O Lord of hosts. And isn't that glorious? And it captures in many more words exactly what that stanza was, had all the congregation sing in a few. That's the genius of a hymn, that it boils it down to something that's very easy. You can take a great prayer like that sort of and put it in your pocket and you've got it.
Well, like the children's prayer that I was taught for bedtime had that line, if I should die before I wake.
Yeah.
I mean, I never thought of it as a child. Of course, I was raised with it from the cradle. The gravity of that statement is a lot to lay on a kid, but we got to start teaching them.
Yeah.
Death is real, and that death is can and will happen to you.
Yeah, and it happens at times that people tend not to be expecting or prepared for it. I mean, everybody thinks, well, you know, when I'm old, well, of course I'm going to die when that happens. But you know as well as I, it doesn't happen that way all the time. There are so many people that are taken when they're young, so many that are taken even when they're children. You know, I mean, if you look across the sweep of human history, actually most human beings died in childhood. I mean, it's shocking.
Yeah, exactly. Old age was
the anomaly.
Yeah, not the child dying early.
Right.
So faith and fear in that second to last line of the stanza, what is that?
Well, when we hear faith, we know, I mean, I think we know what that is. The problem that people have is with the fear thing. But remember, fear is always the biblical word for the true worship of God, and it certainly has running with it always humility. We do need God to keep us both humble so that we despair of ourselves and faithful so that we trust in Him and in His mercy. And both of these need to go on. We need both repentance and faith. They go hand in hand together. We need contrition, terror, and also we need trust in His promises. So we're praying, Lord God, please keep us in both of these every day, not just us, but all of us in the congregation. I mean, and you're thinking of your family. Lord, don't let us fall away from You this year. We know that no blessing You have for us will be a blessing if we don't have this faith and fear in You as the first and greatest gift.
Speak very briefly, if you would, about, you've mentioned it twice or more now, the danger of falling away. Death is not the thing to be feared. It's
yeah,
the
right.
Apostasy that is to be feared.
Yeah, falling away from Him is always a danger. Jesus speaks in the parable of the sower and the seed about those who believe for a while, but when trouble comes, they let go the word, and then they no longer believe. They do not persist. So he hammers this home time and again with, you know, the person is blessed who endures to the end. Whoever endures to the end will be saved. So we pray, Lord God, give me this gift of perseverance to the end so that my faith in You does not falter and I do not fall away and come unglued from my Jesus and the life that's in Him.
We're studying the New Year hymn, Across the Sky, the Shades of Night. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. If you love sacred Christmas music, be sure to listen 24/7 to our sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Listen anytime, anywhere at LutheranPublicRadio.org and on the LPR mobile app. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Christmas season. When we come back, the third stanza. We gather up in this brief hour the memory of Your mercies. Your wondrous goodness, love, and power our grateful song rehearses. For You have been our strength and stay in many a dark and dreary day of sorrow and reverses. For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Epiphany hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org, or you can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
You can teach laypeople theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At the center of our campus is Kramer Chapel, and there's a reason for that.
Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Arthur Just.
Because it is the heartbeat of Concordia Theological Seminary. It is where we go to hear the voice of Jesus and frequently be fed with the body and blood of Christ. We sometimes call it our Jerusalem. Kramer Chapel points to the classroom, which we sometimes call Athens. It is there that we do theology, biblical studies, systematic theology, practical theology, history. We love theology here, and we love the study of it, and we love coming together in worship. It's one of the things that gives us great joy. Joy in worshiping, joy in studying theology. Concordia Theological Seminary is all about the joy of being in Jesus.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu.
We
The hymn, Across the Sky, the Shades of Night, the third stanza. We're studying this New Year hymn with Pastor Will Whedon. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. Will, this third stanza really is the flip side of the second stanza, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, so you've had your penitence, and now you have this sort of reflection on gratitude. And gratitude, of course, is all the rage, you know, but the world doesn't know who to thank for all the goodness. You, as a Christian, do. You know where all the stuff's coming from. And yet, think about how seldom we take time to actually ponder the blessings that come our way, to name them out, to thank Him for them. Well, New Year's Eve is a great time to stop and reflect over the past year. We tend to let the sorrows and all the anxieties crowd out the mercies that He's given us in our attention. But you're still here. You're still on pilgrimage. You still gather together with His people in His house this evening. And there's a mercy right there to thank Him for, and so much more. You have a help for it. It's called the Psalter, the Book of Psalms. When you pick it up and use it, you learn how to thank and praise God and how to recount God's mercies to us. Mercies for our creation, that He sustained our life, opened His hand, satisfied the desire of every living thing, that He's clothed you, sheltered you, preserved your life, Psalm 145, perfect for that. Mercies of His redemption, you know, He's given you a Savior into your flesh, the Lord Jesus, who suffered and died so that His blood could blot out your sin and His death could destroy your death forever. And He rose again to give salvation to you. He's coming again to bring you home. Psalm 111 does the job there. Mercies of sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the in the word and sacraments, and the resurrection of your body and the life of the world to come. Psalm 103, which you literally have to pray from the perspective of the resurrection of the body, or it doesn't make any sense. Well, I mean, the Psalter's there to help you with it all. For our strength and stay in many a day of sorrows and reverses, you can't do better than Psalm 107, human plight, God's deliverance, and then after each deliverance, the summons to praise. So when you read about Jesus sneaking out in the middle of the night to go pray, I strongly suspicion that what He was sneaking out to do was go pray the Psalms. And so his life, his human life, was filled with the joy and gratitude to his Father that we so often just kind of miss. So in this new year, take up your Psalter, people loved by God, and learn to pray with Jesus. Your eyes will be opened indeed to the mercies of God.
Contrast what the church is celebrating here, God's infinite mercy in Jesus Christ, with whatever the world is celebrating out there. I've often wondered, as I see that gathering in Times Square, tens of thousands of people reveling, celebrating, waiting for the moment to strike. What are they celebrating? I know what the church celebrates, but Kretzmann says it's just noise.
It's just noise, yeah. I mean, all the whistles and all that. I suppose at its base level, what's being celebrated there is, well, we're still alive. So thanks be to God, we're still alive. But you don't even sooner say those words than immediately you think, oh, but there's people that I know and love who no longer are, whom we've lost this year. And that kind of honestly segues you into the next thought in the hymn itself.
Here is stanza 4. We now remember as we pray our dear ones in your caring, who brightly shine in endless day, past death and all despairing. At our life's end, Lord, as your own, bring us with them around your throne, the joys of heaven sharing.
We now remember as we pray our dear ones in your caring, who brightly shine in endless day, past death and all despairing. At our life's end, Lord, as your own, bring us with them around your throne, the joys of heaven sharing.
So this is a little All Saints Day too, isn't it?
Yeah, and this stanza is not written by James Hamilton. This is actually one that was done by Pastor Greg Wismar, and that was to get the idea of the, you know, remembrance of the faithful departed put back into the hymn. It had been sort of apocryphated from it in Lutheran worship. What I don't understand is why we didn't just go back and actually use Hamilton's own stanza for this, which, let me just read it. It's got all the same ideas, but I actually think the poetry is probably greater. And while we pray, we lift our eyes to dear ones gone before us, safe home with thee in paradise, whose peace descendeth o'er us, and beg of thee when life is past to reunite us all at last with those who have gone before us.
It is simpler.
It's simpler. Yeah, yeah. It's just got something about it that I like. But either way, either hymn, either stanza, they have this idea about them that you said All Saints, kind of like the Germans used to call it the Totenfest, right? You know, in our agenda, it does note that you can observe the Totenfest, the Feast of the Dead, if you will, on All Saints or All Souls, November 1st or 2nd, or the last Sunday of the church year, or on December 31st. So that's kind of what's running behind this stanza. It's that remembrance of the faithful. And as time passes, the older you get, the more your dear ones are actually gathered home, and the fewer there are left here in this world.
There are people for whom that table's now empty. They've outlived virtually everyone that they've loved and known. Talk a bit about that.
Well, I mean, I always think in my family, I think of my mom's oldest sister. We always called her Aunt Fanny, Frances Elizabeth. But Aunt Fanny, she was born in 1910, and she saw all of her, well, it was 7 brothers and sisters die, all of them. She was the oldest one. She came into the world first. She went out of the world last. And yeah, I mean, it's not that, I mean, there were people that she loved, of course, you know, I mean, her nieces and nephews, she had no children of her own. But she did love her nieces and nephews and her grandnieces and grandnephews and the great-great and nieces and nephews. But you couldn't mistake the sadness that was there over the loss of all of those people that she had come to treasure all these years. I mean, her whole home is wiped out. She saw the whole thing go. her parents, her grandparents, her aunts and uncles, and all of her brothers and sisters. That's hard for us even to sort of, you know, wrap our minds around. But on New Year's Eve, we remember, oh my, but they've been gathered home. And home is the operative word. We are headed home. And so we're praying, God, keep us in the faith that will bring us to share that home with them so that we can be reunited. I love that word from the TLH version there, reunited again with our loved ones.
And it won't just be reunited like reunion. Well, it will be reunion. We will actually be truly in the resurrection, one with them in the body of Christ.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, one true family in Christ, one body with them. It's a beautiful thing.
After the break, then gracious God, in years to come, we pray your hand may guide us, and onward through our journey home, your mercy walk beside us, until at last our ransomed life is safe from peril, toil, and strife, when heaven itself shall hide us.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like to spend more time in God's Word this new year? Does your tight schedule prevent you from sitting down with your Bible? Do you sometimes find the Bible confusing? Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. You can listen anytime, anywhere, on your commute, at the gym, or while doing housework. Learn more at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
In the Confession of Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture. And three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com. Final stanza of the New Year hymn, Across the Sky, the Shades of Night. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Will Whedon is leading our hymn study. He is author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. These books are published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. You can also browse before you buy on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. What are your thoughts on the final stanza?
Well, before I get to the final stanza, can I put the one back that they kind of chopped? I don't know why. In many an hour when fear and dread like evil spells have bound us, and clouds were gathering overhead, thy providence hath found us. In many a night when seas ran high, thy gracious presence drawing nigh hath made all calm around us. I don't know, but that last little bit there, obviously the disciples and the boat, Jesus coming across the water, that too. But I can't help but also think about Paul's words right before the shipwreck in Acts 27, right? This very night there stood before me an angel of the God whom I serve, to whom I belong, and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must also stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart. For I have faith in God, it will be exactly as I have been told. So as you go through the high seas of your life and things are a little wobbly, what a comfort to know he's there. He's promised, I'll be with you there, and I'm not going to leave you till I bring you safely to where I need you to be.
I don't want to get distracted by that, but it is, think about knowing you're going to be shipwrecked, but also having God tell you, you'll live through it. You'll
no
be fine.
Deal. I gotcha.
That's right. Kind of life,
yeah,
in a way.
It is life in a way. So in this last stanza then, gracious God, in years to come, we pray your hand may guide us. I think that evokes for us right away the, you know, promise from Psalm 139, verses 9 and 10. You know, if I take the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me or guide me, and your right hand shall hold me. So his promise is, no matter where you go, no matter where you find yourself in creation in this coming year, God's hand is going to be upon you, guiding you, directing you. And onward through our journey home and ransomed life. These, you can't read those two words and not have Isaiah 35 just joyously ringing in your ears. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall crown their heads, and sorrow and sighing, you're going to turn tail and run away. This is what God promises his people for their homecoming. But then also the haunting words of Hebrews 13, that here we have no lasting city, no lasting home. We seek one that is to come. So safe at home, that is such a huge, huge theme. And all the promises in Revelation about what's not there anymore, you know, no hunger, no thirst, no discomfort, the scorching heat, but instead living water, refreshment, the wiping away of all tears. Think about Psalm 12. I'll place him in the safety for which he longs. Or the way even Hosea put it in chapter 2, I will make for them a covenant on that day with the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the creeping things of the ground, and I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and I will make you lie down in safety. The promise that you're going to be safe. You're going to actually have a place that will be completely safe. You won't need to lock the door. You know, you won't need to have some sort of a weapon at your side. It's a place where God himself will bring you safe from all strife. And also then, safe from the strife that human beings have with each other, right? In this home, there shall be, can we say it like this? There will be no dysfunction. There's going to be no fighting and arguing. But instead, as Isaiah described it, peace, peace like a river. Beautiful.
Heaven itself shall hide us. About a minute for your thoughts on that.
Well, doesn't that evoke to you from Colossians 3 about, I mean, our life being hidden in Christ himself? Our, you know, rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Heaven hides us in that sense that we find our true life finally there. Not in the things that are visible in this world until the appearing of Christ, but we will find home there.
Let's listen to the entire New Year hymn, Across the Sky, the Shades of Night.
Thank you.
The Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the New Year hymn, Across the Sky, the Shades of Night. Will, I want your final thoughts, but you also wanted to say something about that tune and the Gloria in Excelsis.
Yeah. It's first of all, anybody listening, didn't you love that tune? I mean, that's just an amazing tune. That is the tune that Lutherans for centuries sang the Gloria in Excelsis to. They did a rhyme paraphrase of it. Luther wrote a rhyme paraphrase of the Gloria in Excelsis, and that one never really caught on because this other one from Decius, Nicholas Decius, came up, and it just absolutely won the day. And not just in German. I mean, it spread to other languages, too, where people hearing this tune, I think it's the tune that actually carried people's love for that song. But I mean, you can hear the joy that rings through. It's almost like a dance, that particular setting. So it's beautiful. So final thoughts, you know, I can't help but hear the entire song in light of Psalm 90. Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever you'd formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That means he's your home. And in fact, he's your only true home. And the very purpose of your life here in time in this world is for you to find that home with its unspeakable and unguessed joys. To open that home for you, Jesus took on flesh from Mary, and in that flesh chose to suffer and to die and rise again, so that in him you would have a Savior who would see you all the way through suffering and through death into his Father's kingdom, wrapped up in his blood-bought righteousness. Lord, let us not forget our home. Bring us home, home to you. That's the prayer the church in her wisdom teaches us to sing and to pray on New Year's Eve.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he's host of the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, thank you.
Thank you so much, Todd.
If you've enjoyed our hymn studies during the past week with Pastor Will Whedon, please make a year-end tax-deductible contribution. For a year-end donation of $300 or more, we'll send you a recording of 15 Advent and Christmas hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir and a recording of the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. You can make a gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for including the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. in your year-end giving. The world is celebrating a new year with fanfare and with revelry. What are they celebrating? Who knows? The church marks time in a different way than the world. The world just marks time to mark time. The church marks time under the promises of God in Jesus Christ. From his incarnation, his death, and his resurrection for a world of sinners, all the way to his final return in judgment, the resurrection of all flesh, and a new creation. That is why the church is marking time. It is counting down, just like the big ball in Times Square, but the church is counting down toward the fulfillment of those promises in Jesus Christ. Every year, the church celebrates those promises and their inevitable fulfillment in Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues Etc. after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.